Is this very good? Good morning, everyone. Good morning, boys and girls, pathfinders and adventurers. Today, I'll be mainly speaking to the pathfinders and adventurers. Doesn't mean grown-ups, you can't listen. You can listen. You should listen. But there will be a point towards the end when I will be speaking to the grown-ups. So it means pathfinders and adventurers. It would be very nice if you can listen. Before we start, I just want to say the reason why we are doing this here and now is to give you, the wider church, the opportunity not just to know what we're doing, but to provide support for our club. And I want to say this. The uniform work of our church, the pathfinders, the adventurers, is evangelism. I didn't hear any amen. It is evangelism. Right before us here, we have future teachers, future doctors, future pastors, future evangelists, future administrators. And I want you to imagine, church, a very horrible thing. I want you to imagine 20 years down the road, if Jesus doesn't come, that these children are missing from the church. They're gone. They're out in the world. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? We wouldn't want to even think of it. So it is very important that we care for and we nurture and we preserve and we grow our children. That is evangelism par excellence. And it begins in the home. So as a church, we will be doing a lot of evangelism this year, and we will be doing all types of evangelism, starting from home, from the household of faith, our most precious resource, our children. The message I have entitled this morning, Children of the King. Bow with me as we pray. Father, bless your word. You have prepared it. Now it is to be delivered. And it cannot be delivered, Lord, without your help. Help me as I speak. Help us all as we listen to your voice. And be with every pathfinder, boy and girl. May Jesus be beside them. And may we hear from you and touch us, Lord. Give us a renewed and new vision. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to take you back. The year was 1879. Two boys by the name of Luther Warren and Harry Fenner. Harry was 17 years old, but Luther was only 14 years old. Any 14-year-olds here today? A few of them are putting their hands up. These boys changed the Seventh-day Adventist church forever. You see, what is happening, they were Seventh-day Adventist boys, and they noticed that their friends in church were not doing very well in terms of their spiritual walk. Some of them were using bad words, some of them were not studying their Bible, and they were doing naughty things. And Harry and Luther were concerned. They wanted to help their friends in the church. And so they wondered what they could do. One day they were walking home, and they decided, you know what, the best thing, as they were talking about the challenges they were seeing, the problems they were seeing with their friends and how they could help them, they thought the best thing to do is to pray. And so in the corner of a field, they knelt down and they prayed and they asked Jesus to show them what to do. And they decided, Jesus gave them an idea that they should start a missionary society for boys, because they were only two boys. It was a special club, and they gathered all their friends, and there was a club meeting. They chose a place where they could meet. They elected a president and a secretary treasurer, and they ran their club very efficiently by the help of God. And that club grew more boys and more boys wanted to join that club because it was only a boys' club. But then the girls said, wait a minute, we want to have a club too. Why can't we have a club? And so the girls started their own club. And out of this, the youth department of the Seventh-day Adventist Church was born. And out of the youth department, the Pathfinder Club was born in the 1950s. And out of the Pathfinder Club, the church decided, well, what about the very young ones? And so in the early 90s, the Adventure Club was started. All because two young boys, teenagers, decided that they wanted to do something to help change their friends at church. So the message this morning, boys and girls, you are never too young to make a difference because you are a child of the King. And that King is King who? King Jesus. Now, I want to tell you another story. I'll be telling you a lot of stories today. The story of three kings. The first king, his name was King Manasseh. What was his name? Manasseh. Manasseh was a very bad king. He wasn't a good king. He did a lot of bad things. He led the children of God to idolatry, to witchcraft. He even got them to do what is called child sacrifice, a very bad thing, hurting children. And God was not pleased with what Manasseh was doing. Now, Manasseh, he was 22 years old when he became king. And he reigned for a long time, 55 years. 55 years. Now, remember I said Manasseh was a bad king. And he was doing bad things to God's people, including hurting children. And God would not allow that to continue. So God sent the Assyrians to punish the kingdom of Judah and Manasseh. He was arrested. He was thrown into prison. And then something good happened. That story of King Manasseh had a good ending. Manasseh was able to see that what he was doing was bad, and he repented. He changed his ways. He decided, I don't want to be doing bad things anymore. I don't want to be causing my people to be worshiping false gods. I don't want to be practicing witchcraft, and I do not want to be hurting children anymore. And when Manasseh told God that he was sorry, do you think God accepted that? Yes, indeed. And there's a lesson there. Whenever we know that what we have been doing is wrong and it's bad, and we go to God and we tell him that we are sorry, he always accepts our sorry. And do you know what, boys and girls? God actually restored King Manasseh. That's why he was able to reign for so long. And then he died. He was old. He died. And his son, the second king, started to reign. And what is his name? His name was Ammon. But here is something special about Ammon that you didn't realize. Ammon was only 12 years old when he began to be king. Sorry, not 12, 22 years old. 22 years old when he was. He was a young man. He was 12 years old. Sorry, I'm getting my ages confused. Manasseh was 22. Ammon was only 12. Any 12-year-olds here? Pathfinders. Pathfinders. That's an explorer age. 12 years old. Now, knowing that his father was a bad king and seeing for so many years the bad things his father did, and the punishment that God did to his father. Do you think Ammon, when he came, became king, he said, no, I'm not going to be as bad as my father. I will be a good king and do all that God wants me to do. Do you think that's what he did? No, he did not. King Ammon continued in the bad ways of his father, and many believe that he was even worse than his father. And because he had the example, because he could have seen the wrong that his father had done, because he could have seen how God punished his father, because he could have seen how his father repented and God restored his father, God was not going to let him to continue to hurt his people and to do bad things for long. So Ammon only reigned for 2 years. And then his own people killed him. They plotted to kill him, and they killed him. So he could not be on the throne for long, doing bad things and leading God's people astray. Now, when the people of the kingdom were looking for a king, who do you think they went to? They looked around, and the only person, and you can see by now that I'm getting my ages mixed up. The only person that was supposed to be the king was the son of King Ammon. But there was a problem. He was only 8 years old. Anybody who's 8 years old here? That's how old. I want you to stand up if you're 8 years old. Stand up and turn around and let the church look at you. If you had to choose a pastor, if the conference is looking for a pastor for this church, keep standing and turn around. Anybody would think it's a good idea for one of these kids to be the pastor of this church? Thank you, boys and girls. You can sit down. They're thinking, who can we? The only person is the son of King Ammon, who was not 12 years old, getting my ages mixed up. And you'll forgive me. I'm getting old. He's 8 years old. He can't be king. Surely he can be. He's too small, right? What would they do? There were people, maybe, who thought, he's too small. I don't know. But surely in today's world, as you can see, not many people. I think I only saw one or two hands go up. Now, a king is a much bigger job than the pastor of a church. So who would think that an 8-year-old would be a king? We'll come back to the answer to this question in a while. Jesus one day was busy teaching the people, preaching. There were large crowds who had come from far to hear Jesus speak because he had some very important things to say. Because you know what? Whenever Jesus is speaking, what he is saying is important, and everyone sits up and listens. Because what Jesus has to say is important, right? And you, if you were there, you would want to hear what Jesus has to say, right? Yes. And then there were mothers who brought their children to Jesus while he is preaching and teaching. There were mothers who brought their children to Jesus to ask Jesus, please, can you put your hands on my child's head and bless my child, please, Jesus? But Jesus was busy preaching and teaching to the grown-ups. And here are the mothers who want Jesus to stop his teaching to the grown-ups and to stop, leave the grown-ups and to pay attention to the children and to bless them. What will Jesus do? What would you want Jesus to do? Would you want Jesus to stop talking to the grown-ups and to give you attention and to put his hand on your head and on your shoulder and bless you? Yes, of course you would want to. And the mothers wanted that for the children, and the children wanted that too. But, there's a big but, the disciples, the disciples thought, that's not a good idea. They were very upset that the mothers were disturbing Jesus. That's what they thought. They said to the mothers, go away with these children. You are annoying the teacher, the master, Jesus. Jesus is teaching the grown-ups, and his job is very important because he has some important things to say. He doesn't have time to stop and to worry about children. And the mothers were very sad. And the children were even sadder. But do you know who was the saddest of all? Jesus was the saddest of all when he heard that from the disciples. And do you know what Jesus did? He stopped his teaching to the grown-ups and he called the children to him and he took them in his arms and he blessed them. And you know what he told the disciples? He rebuked them. He told them, what you said and what you're doing is wrong. He said, let the children come to me. As a matter of fact, let's read it in our Bible. Elson read it for us in our scripture reading. But let's read it again. Do you remember what the scripture reading was from? What book was it? Luke. Do you remember what chapter? 18. And do you remember the verses? Aha. That one might be a bit harder. 15 to 17. This is what happens. It says, Acts chapter 18. Yep. 15 to 17. But then they also brought infants to him, that's Jesus, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. See, I didn't tell a lie. That's what happened. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus said to the disciples, don't stop the children. Don't prevent the children from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven is made up of children. Do you know, boys and girls, that there will be children in heaven? Do you know that? Do you know that heaven will be made up of children, all kinds of children, little children and big children? But the most important question is, will you be in heaven? Do you want to be in heaven? Will you choose Jesus so that you can be in heaven with him? But the verse doesn't stop there. Jesus said in verse 17, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Now, this is why I want to speak to the grown-ups. Doesn't mean, boys and girls, you shouldn't listen, but mainly I want to talk to the grown-ups. What Jesus is saying here, big boys and girls, is that we are to look to our children as an example. Because unless you can become like them, it does not mean that you have to shrink and grow back to be 8 and 9 years old. But unless you have their heart, their faith, their obedience, their trust, their purity in trusting Jesus, you can't make it into his kingdom. So if we want to know how to get into the kingdom, we need to look at our children. Many times we look at how naughty they are, how they can't keep still and how they can't sit still and how they are disobedient and so forth. But some of you who are parents, you'd know what I'm talking about better than me. How much trust children have in you. How they depend on you. They don't sleep at night and wonder, will mommy and daddy have enough money to feed me tomorrow? They don't ever think of that. They simply trust you. When you get behind the car, they don't think, does mommy and daddy know how to drive? They don't think this. We have one of the newest parents in our church, Emily. Emily's son is just coming to the world. He doesn't say, excuse me, what training have you done to be a mom? What are your certificates? What are your qualifications? What experience do you have, Emily? None. But that little child trusts her mom. And that is the kind of trust we must have in Jesus before we can enter his kingdom. So we, boys and girls, us grown-ups, we are looking at you. We are looking at you as an example to see how we can get into the kingdom. Now, I was wondering as I was preparing the message, what the SDA Bible commentary has to say about this passage. I normally do that. And what was said there shocked me. Now, there are certain things that sometimes I need to say from this pulpit, but I dare not say it as my own words, because you can easily stone me and run me out of town. But when it comes from a more authoritative source, I'm speaking to the grown-ups, you can't hold it against me, can you? This is what the SDA Bible commentary has to say, volume 5, page 466, on this passage. It's actually the commentary from Matthew's version, because this story occurs in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. SDA Bible commentary. The disciples completely misunderstood Jesus. They considered this request, the request of their parents bringing their children to Jesus, they considered it a waste of the master's time and an unnecessary interruption in what was to them the more important task of preaching the gospel to adults. So I'm not making this up. This is not just my spin. And I wrote those thoughts that I shared with you before I found this out. So the Holy Spirit works. They thought they were protecting Jesus from annoyance. According to Mark, Jesus was much displeased. Jesus was very upset. Very upset, very disappointed when the disciples stopped the parents from bringing their children. With the peremptory action of the disciples, preventing. It continues, literally, forbid them not, that's the commentary on those words. Literally, it is translated, or it means, do not continue hindering them. In other words, what Jesus was saying, and Jesus loves to say this, stop your hindering of the children. Stop it. I didn't say it. Any, listen to this, very rebuking words. Any who make it difficult for children to find the master today are sure to encounter his utmost displeasure and to earn his severest rebuke. There is room for little children in the kingdom of divine grace. There is room for little children in the kingdom of divine grace. So when they make mistakes, when they can't sit still, when they are disobedient, parents, grown-ups, is there room for divine grace in your hearts? There is in the heart of God, in the heart of Jesus. In the home, parents, in the church. Not just in the home, but in the church. Why am I not hearing somebody saying, Pastor, say it louder? In the church, in the school, the needs and interests of children are ever to be accorded a place of what? Major importance. So at Doral Creek Church, Sandra, our children's ministries leader, the SDA Bible commentary says, at Doral Creek, we need to accord the interests and the needs of children a major place. In many churches, we don't do that. In many churches, the Sabbath school is in some back room. The kids' Sabbath school in some back room where you store all sorts of things, where all the deacons' extra stuff is stored. And the kids have to clamor their way through that. In some, look at it. How many churches do you see where the Sabbath school rooms are in the front of the church and in a prominent position? It's always in the back somewhere. Now, I'm not knocking our arrangement here. We found it that way, and there's nothing we can do about it, unless we build a bigger church, but I'm not going there. A place of major importance. Not my words. All who have any, listen to this, this one is even worse. All who have any contact with children, parents, Adventurer Pathfinder leaders, pastor, deacons, deaconesses, elders, board members, church, or who may have a voice in decisions that affect their interests, must beware of doing anything that might make it difficult for them to find Jesus. You have contact, that's all of us, but some more than others, and those who have a voice in decisions that affect their interests. Now you might think, the leaders of the church board, yes, but do you know business meetings are for all baptized members of Doro Creek Church? And so in the business meeting, even if you're not on the board, you have a voice that can make a decision that can affect children. Every business meeting we have every quarter, our leaders report. And sometimes there are only about two or three more members than the board. And so sometimes you complain, what are the boards, what's the board doing? The business meeting is your opportunity to hold the board members and the leaders of our church to account. So please attend business meeting. There's one on Monday night. It's very important. We're investing quite a bit of money in a Bible worker, and we want you to tell us if that is the right thing to do. I'm just putting this in. So let's go back to Manasseh as we close. And Ammon, who's going to be the next king, the third king? Remember, the only king that was left, the son of Ammon, he was only 8 years old. Who in their right mind would think to make an 8-year-old the king of an entire nation? And yet still, that is exactly what happened. And King Josiah was a good king, unlike his father and grandfather before him. He destroyed all of the idols. He smashed them. He took down all of the temples of worship to Baal. And he restored God's word in its rightful place where it should be. An 8-year-old. So can children make a positive impact in the church and for God's cause? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Jesus said they are precious. They are his children. And you are a child of Jesus, and you are a child of the King. I want to end with one last story of Princess Elizabeth and her sister Margaret. The year was 1940. England was at war, and London was being bombed. Streets and lanes were being bombed. People's houses were being bombed. Children were being displaced because their houses were bombed while they were in the bomb shelters. And Princess Elizabeth and her sister Margaret, because they were princesses, it meant that their father was a king. And so they were children of the king. They lived in a palace. And you would think that because they live in a palace, their life would be different. It wasn't. Their home also, the palace, got bombed. And one night, Princess Elizabeth, the noise of the sirens and the bombs going off was so loud, she could not even hear her mother, but she could read her mother's lips that said, you didn't hear, get your coat. They had to evacuate the palace because it was being bombed. And she quickly put on a coat and she quickly dressed her younger sister Margaret, and they ran off into the black car that was awaiting them, and the driver sped off very quickly but very carefully in the streets, the dark streets of London. And Princess Elizabeth's mother told her, put your head down, lower your head down, girls. But Princess Elizabeth could not help. She peeked her head up and she saw the bombs going off, destroying houses all around. The princesses were sent to live in different homes in the countryside where they could be safe. But Princess Elizabeth wanted to do something to help with the war. But do you know what? She wanted to fight for her country. Do you know what they told her? They told her, sorry, you cannot join the army. You are too small. Okay. Will she let that defeat her? Will that be the end of it? No. She thought again to herself, there must be something I can do. Then she got an idea. She said, I know what. I know that there are boys and girls just like my sister and I all throughout England and other parts of the world that are being bombed just like me, that have lost their homes. At least my home is still standing, but some of them have lost their homes. Some of them have had to live in other homes that don't belong to them to escape the bombs. There is something I can do for these children. I can send radio messages through radio. There was no internet back then, but there was radio. They called it the wireless back then. And she could record messages with her sister and send them all throughout the British Empire, all throughout Africa and the Caribbean and even Australia for the children that were affected by war just like herself. And that made a tremendous difference. Later on, when she was old enough, the first opportunity she had, she did join the army. She didn't have a gun shooting, but she was a driver in the army. And do you know, boys and girls, Princess Elizabeth grew up to be the longest serving queen of the United Kingdom and Queen of Australia as well. She died not too long ago. And many people around the world respected her for her faith in God and her commitment to serving her fellow men. Because she was a child of the king, she dedicated her life to God, and she dedicated her life to serving others, because that's what children of the king do. I'm wondering how many boys and girls here would like to be like King Josiah, who would like to be like Princess Elizabeth, who would like to say that for the rest of my life, even though I may be small, no one can tell me I am too small to dedicate my life to Jesus and to serving and helping others. Is there any boy and girl who would like to say, I want to dedicate my life to Jesus and to serving others? If you are here, I want you to stand to your feet, boys and girls. You could be up in the front. You could be sitting in the audience. You could be watching on Zoom. If you want to be like King Josiah, you want to serve Jesus, you want to be a friend to Jesus and a friend to man, stand to your feet. And some are standing in the congregation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If there are bigger boys and girls, grown-ups, in the congregation who want to say, I do not want to be like the disciples. I do not want to forbid, to stop, or to block children. But I want to support our children so that they can be the future leaders in God's work. You want to be like Jesus and say, bring the children. We will bless them. We will work with them. We will support them. We will nurture them. If you're a grown up and you want to be like this, I invite you to stand to your feet. And together, we will march into God's kingdom. Because Jesus said that his kingdom will be made of children. Unless you can become like one of these little children, you can't enter his kingdom. I want to pray a prayer of dedication to our club, to our children, to our leaders, and for us as an entire church to understand what we are doing here. It's not just about camping and having fun. It's about placing these children in a place where they can choose Jesus and they could make a meaningful impact in this world for his kingdom. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we at Dora Creek, we love Jesus. We at Dora Creek, we want to serve Jesus the best way we know how. We at Dora Creek, we have a passion of telling others about Jesus. We have a passion of treating others like Jesus treated them. And Lord, this year we have committed ourselves to sharing the love of Jesus, to sharing the knowledge of Jesus and his teachings to our community. But Lord, we want to start first in the household of faith. You said that you have come to the lost sheep of the household of Israel. We want to begin, Lord, with our very own children. We pray, Father, that you may bless the children's ministry of Dora Creek for 2023. You may bless the Dora Creek Adventurer and Pathfinder United Club. Bless the leaders, Lord. Give them a love for you first. May they dedicate themselves daily to you. And may they dedicate their work and their commitment in this work to you every day. Help them, Father. Give them wisdom and patience and all the tools they need to have a successful club in 2023. Bless our children, Father. They are the most precious among us. From the smallest adventurer to the biggest pathfinder, may we be united as a club to support each other. Bless the children as they are out having meetings, as they are out camping, as they are out doing their activities. May it be Christ-focused, and may it be evangelism, so that children, not just in the club, but in our church and in the community, can be part of this movement and choose Jesus as their eternal Savior. Bless our church, all the supporters, Lord, our members who support through their offerings and their time, their words of encouragement, their understanding, their caring, and their prayers. Bless our leaders. May they too have a vision to understand the importance of children's ministries and youth ministries in our church. And Lord, when all our work is done, may these children not only be in your kingdom, but may they grow up and lead others into your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen.